even the whole church plant ideas and the steps, like God started to just wreck that in me because I had an idea of what it would look like.
And
it went from me even like letting go, me going to directly to Tonga to like, okay, God, this isn't my vision. It's yours where it's going.
You're listening to For the City, a podcast of Gospel City Church, where we're committed to the mission of loving God, loving people, and making disciples of all nations. You can find out more at mygospelcity.org. We're glad you're here. This is Season 3.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of For the City, a podcast of Gospel City Church. We're here for episode 4, talking church planting as it relates to Always on Mission, and our desire to be a church planting church has been around for 15 plus years.
Yeah.
And we're here with some good friends. We got Nasa Sete in the house. How are you feeling, Nasa?
I feel good. Cold.
Cold?
But good.
It's January 2025.
Yeah. It's a cold time.
2025, new year's upon us.
It's cold.
So here we are.
Now, so sitting right next to you is our good friend Doug Jividen from Send Network, and has great friendship and relationship with Gospel City Church.
And a part of Gospel City.
Yeah, over a lot of years now.
6 years.
And so, we're excited. We're going to dive into just talking a little bit about church planting, what that looks like. What do we mean when we say church plant? Some people may have different ideas of that. But Doug, can you just talk a little bit about like where you come from and kind of how you got connected to Gospel City and that journey of...
You know, it's been an interesting journey for me.
Yeah.
I have pastored in a lot of different places, South Florida, Naples, Florida, planted a church out in Montana, replanted here in Indiana, and was pastoring for about 15 years in Plymouth.
Wow. Yeah.
And then was asked to join our state staff and was going to be working with leadership. I'd been doing for a decade leadership training for the Southern Baptist Convention, North American Mission Board. And out of the leadership training I had done around the United States, our state convention said, hey, would you join us? So I did. Mm-hmm. And a couple years out of that, then started connecting with what was a new piece for the North American Mission Board, which was Send Network. Send Network was started in 2015. And so I was one of the early guys that got involved with that. So 13 years now of being involved in church planting. Send Network, of course, 2015, was the time that we really started to amp up trying to plant churches literally around the United States and Canada.
Yeah.
And since 2010, there's been, 11,000 churches that Send Network has planted. So we've been a part of that, and that's been an exciting journey with them.
Yeah. So what was the connection to Gospel City specifically?
The connection was when Gospel City was having a conversation about planting.
Yeah.
And the pastor at the time, the founding pastor of our church, Trent Griffith, said, hey, I'd like to sit and talk with you about how that we could kind of partner with this.
Yeah.
And we were at a situation where we had just finished a church. I had been an interim pastor for a church while we were also doing church planting. And Gospel City said, hey, would you come and help us? And so my wife and I said, this is a great time for us to check it out. We did. Came to a service. Linda looked at me and said, we're joining. And at that moment, that's what happened. And
there's a great story. The first...
Yeah.
First Sunday you came,
yep.
Weren't you like asked to greet or something?
Yeah, we walked in the door and
we vet everybody except for Doug.
Yeah, there you go. We walked in the door and the person for that day that was leading greeting said, hey, really need some help. Would you guys be greeters? And we were like, wow, that was pretty quick.
Yeah.
And we said,
you're like,
yes.
This church has it down. The assimilation,
right there,
we're in.
So we joined and been greeting ever since. That's so awesome. It's been a lot of fun doing that. But that was the connection.
Yeah.
Was we helped plant Stephen Love at Redemption City and Ben Hurt at Gospel Community Church in Goshen.
Yeah.
And so Stephen is in South Bend.
Yeah.
And so that was our connection early on, was coaching them, training, and so forth, and then it's just been that way for the entire time we've been here.
So Send Network is the church planting arm of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Send Network is the church planting arm of the North American Mission Board, which is the missions organization of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And then you're regionally up here in Northern Indiana and a part of our church, and then just have been helping coach different pastors and different planters all around this area, right?
Right. And my role is to help plant, to discover, develop, and deploy planters from Indianapolis all the way to up here, up to the Michigan border. And actually, I've worked with guys up in Michigan and Ohio, and working with a pastor, a Burmese pastor in Columbus, who wants to plant in Fort Wayne. Wow. So it is working that entire region of northern Indiana in planting in any one of the cities or communities that are seeking to develop a church.
Yeah. So how many guys are there like you across even just the United States?
In the United States. That's a great question. 225-ish.
Wow. Yeah.
That are like me. There are guys that are, for me, I'm a regional strategist. There are guys in our 33 major cities that are Send City missionaries. And so that really is the team of catalysts and Send City missionaries, our state team leaders for all of the conventions that we have.
Yeah, that's cool.
One of the reasons Send Network has been super cool in the last few years and just getting to know you, Doug, like we came out of Harvest Bible Fellowship, mm-hmm. which was a church planting organization. And so church planting's always kind of been in our DNA as a church.
Yeah.
I remember early on, it was like, what's your mission strategy? And our only mission strategy was to plant churches, God-glorifying, Christ-centered churches. Exactly. And the reason behind that is, of course, the Great Commission. But, you know, now we're emphasizing, now in our church, we're emphasizing unreached people groups and different places like that. But the reality is, once you get into an unreached place and you find converts who give their lives to Christ, it's the they're a part of the bride of Christ, and establishing local churches is how discipleship flourishes and how more people come to know Christ. And God's kind of mechanism on the earth is that there would be local churches all around the world being planted. And so Send Network is doing that really well, and it's been kind of a cool relationship.
Right.
And then your wealth of knowledge has been just super valuable to even helping us flesh out kind of things that we're doing. You were instrumental in planting the one in Goshen and Stephen in South Bend, and now NASA here, who has been a resident for planting in Hawaii.
Yeah. And so, NASA, you're not just sitting here because of your pretty face and we needed you on the podcast, but we wanted to, you know, you think about
the moneymaker.
Yeah. I'm really curious of, like, even from Doug, for you to speak to it too, of like kind of the journey of a planter. And so, you know, we talked about, we've planted a couple guys, Pastor Ben Hurt, Pastor Stephen Love, are these guys who have kind of gone through a lot of meeting with them and talking to them. And I know, NASA, you've been here, you were part of our church, the Lord put this burden on your heart. But kind of, so maybe, NASA, talk through the early stages of what it looked like to where you find yourself sitting on this couch now. But what did it look like in the early days of getting into this process?
Yeah. Man, it wasn't like I just woke up one day and was like, hey, I want to go plant a church. But it started like personally in me, honestly, just surrendering to the Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to serve you. I want my marriage to honor you. I want my household to honor you. What does that look like? And the first step, even before church planting, was just to be involved in the church, in the local church, in Gospel City. So me, my wife, and my kids, were wherever we heard, you know, there's Gospel City gatherings, we just showed up, whether we were invited or not, because we just knew we wanted to honor the Lord. And one of the, that was a vital piece in our marriage and our family, was to be a part of the local church. And as we just continued to serve wherever was needed and sought the Lord of what he wanted for us to do, then, you know, pieces just started to come together. Things just started to make sense. I'm walking through church, and then I get introduced to this guy named Doug Jividen, who's with the North American Mission Board, and then conversations started to go from there. Then I go on this trip to Puerto Rico as I'm just trying to trust and obey the Lord with every step. And then as I was trusting and obeying, it just became more clear and clear that I was going to one day, Lord willing, be a pastor, and then one day, Lord willing, plant a church.
Yeah.
And that was just the beginning stage, was just following the Lord, following the Lord, and this is where we are now. And just now, just being on, especially being on staff here, being under your guys' leadership and guidance, and Doug's leadership and guidance, has been super humbling and equipping at the same time. But I love how everything, it just comes back to trusting and obeying with every step. So
So it doesn't sound like you set out, you know, with this like, okay, step one is I got to get connected to Doug, and then I got to go through. Like, you were just doing what you felt called to do as a follower of Christ, and the Lord started to stoke this fire. And then it sounds like, as you're even reminiscing a bit, you're just seeing these little flag moments where the Lord's like, I got you here, I got you here. Yeah. Like, for you to, you know, I've heard the Puerto Rico story, but like, for you to be sitting there and the Lord to, like, Holy Spirit meet you right there in that moment was monumental for you.
Yeah,
and if you hadn't gone on that trip, like, all the factors weren't like, you did everything right to be a church planter. It's like, you're just following the Lord.
Yeah.
And God's done it. Yeah. So I'm curious, like, from Doug, your perspective, like, you get introduced to this mountain of a man who's like, I just love Jesus and want to tell people about him.
I was scared to death.
Yeah, right.
Because he's a mountain of a man.
As you should be. As you should be, all of you.
And now who's more scared of who is what I, But, I mean, like, what's like your process as, you know, in your role? Like, what are you looking for in these
guys? Well,
that's
a great question. And I think that first off, I want to find guys that are just hungry for the gospel.
Yeah.
Hungry to impact and touch people's lives. Do they have all the answers? Do they have all the training? No.
Yeah.
You know, we think that, oh man, we've got to be looking for all the guys that are coming out of seminary, or we're looking for all of the guys that are already polished or something. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that's a passionate follower for Christ and wanting to grow. And what was interesting in that conversation that you were talking about was the early stages of this was saying, hey, why don't we just get together at Bigby's? And we're going to do some online stuff, and let's just see what comes of it.
Yeah.
And so NASA started doing that, and we met every couple weeks, just going through the material and kind of doing a coaching session there at Bigby's and just saying, hey, what do you think? Man, and all of a sudden, you could just see the intensity, the fire burning.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about planting. It was, but it was, I want to get to my people in Tonga.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can probably speak into that real quick, but you wanted to go to Tonga. And then the question that I asked was, because we can't minister in Tonga, that's an international mission opportunity.
Yeah.
But I said, do you want to plant a church in Tonga, or do you want to reach Tongans? Because what happens if there's Tongans in Hawaii?
Yeah.
And then we did a demographic study, and that kind of changed everything.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
everything happened. Once we realized that Hawaii was going to be on the radar, bluntly, my wife and I did not want to go because we were actually trying to look where Polynesians are or Tongans are in, you know, here in the mainland.
Yeah.
But as we just kept, again, trusting and obeying and just following the Spirit as led by Him and led by my leaders, Hawaii just became more and more evident and doors started opening.
Yeah.
And I love how Doug said, you know, it wasn't like we were trying to church plant. We were just, you know, fellowshipping, coming together, talking about Jesus. And then like what you mentioned earlier, this path came and we're just... We're just trying to follow the path that we believe the Lord's.
There's a couple, like, just based off what you guys said, and we can keep going in the story, but two things I really appreciate. Doug, I appreciate the way that you kind of see people's dreams and assume the best in people really quickly, and you're willing to just sit down at coffee and talk with anybody about, what would it look like for God to use you beyond what he's doing right now. And I admire that. And I'm sure all along your journey, you've probably got people on the path to plant a church and then the door got slammed in their face, or time proved that they weren't ready for that, or they weren't affirmed in that call. But you have answered the, you do a great job of discipling people and loving the body of Christ and dreaming with people to a place. I think it's discipleship. You walk with people in fleshing out their desires and their dreams. And then what NASA said, you keep saying trust and obey. And I was impacted like in the last episode of the podcast of faithfulness and obedience.
Yeah.
And what I've found is anytime the Lord's calling somebody to ministry or opening the door for a church plant or calling somebody to a position, usually that person's trying to suppress that call. Right. Like I'm not your guy, Lord. I'm content with where I'm at. I'm just trying to be faithful. I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm just trying to trust and obey. And it's through our faithfulness and our obedience and our trusting and our obeying over time that the Lord uses that to confirm the call that He puts in us. Yeah. And not only do you have felt a calling, NASA, but the Lord has used Doug and use the leadership here at Gospel City to affirm that calling.
Right.
And so I think, how have you seen to be true, Doug? Like, when you probably get people all the time saying, I feel called to plant a church. And you're like, let's sit down at Big B Coffee and let's talk about that. I'd love to hear about your calling. How important is the affirming of the calling through a council of people?
100% important. Yeah. It is, I think, one of the most critical elements. When I was planting in Montana, first off, I'm asking God, do you even know where Montana is?
Yeah.
I mean,
I felt that way when I moved to South Bend.
I mean, there you go. I mean, it was like, okay, I'm in South Florida on the beaches of Naples, and I'm like, okay, we're talking Montana, and in the middle of nowhere in Montana.
Somebody told me that Notre Dame's in South Bend, and I thought Notre Dame was in Florida.
There you go.
So I was completely lost.
There you go.
Paris or something?
You know, but what was intriguing about that situation was it was my call to plant a church that caused us to stay when everything else wasn't working.
Mm.
You've got to live within the call that God gives you. Whether that call, and understand, God calls all of us in different aspects of what our journey is. We think, oh, a calling for a pastor or you know, some type of role, elder, but the reality is, it was that call that said, Doug, you're going to stick this out. I know it's hard. I know you're frustrated.
Mm.
I want that planter to be able to really communicate what is the Father asking you to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means we have to go all the way back to, let's just start some very basic things. Just talking to a planter yesterday, and we're going to start at things that, NASA, you were way down the road already, but we're going back to this spot. It's assessing where they are and then starting them where they are to take the next right step.
Yeah.
And so that's a part of this, but it's leading them to a call. And if they don't have the call confidently in their heart, that's great. Minister somewhere in your church. Get involved in something that's going to help you and your family grow.
Yeah.
Pastoring may not be on the table, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But there many times are guys going, yes, I'm ready to do this, and then we can move to the next step. It's just the building blocks that are there.
Yeah.
And so it's what I try to do, whether it be an Anglo plant, whether it be an ethnic plant, doesn't matter what it is, it's the same thing. It's the call of God on their lives. And so that's kind of what you're looking for in each person.
Yeah. So he's meeting with you at Big B.
Yep.
You guys are like, you're seeing some doors start to open. Hawaii is now on the table.
Uh-huh.
Like, you go home, you tell your wife, it might be Hawaii. You're both like, never mind.
Yeah.
But
which
no.
Most people would be like, yes.
Yeah.
I said, God plays tricks on us because him calling you guys to Hawaii and you don't want to go is like, there's probably a million people who would want to go.
Yeah. It is the running joke. But I get it. There's an aspect of like, this isn't what we were picturing when we first thought about this. So it all starts to shift a little bit. And now you guys are in like making some real decisions. So what's the process look like? So now you're like, was Hawaii. Like, do you just start calling phone numbers in Hawaii? Like, can my guy plant a church there? Like,
and see, the wonderful thing about being a part of the Southern Baptist Convention is you're able to partner with guys that's what they do, boots on the ground.
Yeah.
On the different islands there, the guys that are in the western part of the United States that are in that are the structure of Send Network.
Yeah.
So we're able to contact them and say, hey, what do you see? They then connect, and it just begins to open, as we've been saying, opening doors. But it's because of the size of Send Network and the Southern Baptist Convention, there are people that are already there doing ministry for many years, and that opens up opportunities.
Yeah, so cool. And so you take a trip out there initially.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Before that, one of the coolest things, you know, because when it was Tonga at first and then it was Hawaii, you're like, is this a reality?
Right.
Yeah,
can this really happen?
Yeah.
It feels impossible, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you felt that. But man, that first, we got on a Zoom call. I think the three of us were on there with some connections to other pastors that we have over there. And those pastors are hearing NASA's burden for the Tongan people, and these pastors are in tears at NASA's testimony for the burden for the Tongan people. And it was almost like light bulbs are starting to come on. Like, Lord, you could actually do this. You could be in this. And that's the most exciting thing I think about the Lord's call, the affirmation of others, and then just following him through every door that he opens.
Right.
You want to get to a place in planting a church where you look back and you say, that was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. I didn't do anything to orchestrate all of that because I would have done it totally different, but God's been in it all along the way. And that's been the cool part, like that, from that first Zoom call to a few other Zoom calls now, where the Lord's like providing funds and providing locations and all of that. And then it led to some trips where you got out there with Send Network, and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Earlier in May last year, my wife and I ended up going on a vision tour out there, and man, we knew it was the next step, but man, we didn't know what to expect. I was expecting a big old sign that said NASA plant here.
Yeah.
Here's your team, but there was nothing like that. But as we were just meeting pastors and engaging the communities, again, it just became more and more evident that, like, this, we were following the Lord, we were obeying the Lord.
Yeah.
So it was one of those where, like God's doing it all, and we're just gonna take it one step at a time and come under our leaders. And
and that's a critical, I think that's a critical piece. And when we talked about you going over there, it was like, hey, as you drive, ask the Lord very specifically, Lord, could it be here? Lord, could it be here? Give me divine encounters and divine appointments where conversations are affirming and putting the burden on. Because I get what it's like to feel like you're established, you have family here, you love your church here. So whenever you say, we didn't want to go to Hawaii, it's not saying you didn't want to be used by the Lord. It's saying we love where we're at, and it's going to be a sacrifice, and it's going to be a burden. Yeah. Like when Nicole and I moved here to South Bend, we knew no family, didn't know anyone, came up in February. It's a blizzard, but we're like driving around praying those types of prayers.
Yeah.
And
there
was one specific moment at the mall, University Park Mall, where we ran into a girl. And we told her about a church, and she's like, I really could use a church like that. And we were like, could that be the Lord? And then by the time we got on a plane, Nicole was buying a winter coat because she's like, the Lord's moving us to South Bend. And I think that's what happened with you and Caroline in Hawaii a little bit, right? Like you've had some encounters and some locations start to affirm the call in your life.
Yeah. And again, too, it wasn't just like following a call, like God started molding our hearts for the people, for Hawaii. It was no longer, you know what, we don't want to leave our establishment where we're at in South Bend or in Indiana. Now it's like God at any and all costs will follow you.
Yeah.
And if it is the uproot and coming here, the beauty of it, like it wasn't just obeying, but there was a joy. There was an anticipation of like, we can't wait till we not so much get to Hawaii, but like we can't wait to just follow the Lord wherever he wants to take us. Because, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, me being a father of four and my wife, what can I give my family? And the best thing is to just obey the Lord.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's interesting because our first direction that just seemed like God was opening doors was in Maui. You grew up in Maui.
That's a crazy story.
And didn't really think a lot about Oahu. And that kind of changed. You know, you didn't feel comfortable as much in Maui. No. And Oahu, what were the words that you said to me was, man, I felt like I was home. And that, I think that's that peace that God gives us in the situations. You're thinking snow and at the mall, and why am I coming here? And then peace comes and just says, this is the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're all looking for is we recognize we want to reach Tongans, but we started talking a lot about what's the bigger vision. We think about let's plant a church. We started having the conversation, well, that's the first church. That's already in the books. What's the second church? Maybe that's the Maui church. Yeah. Well, what's the church after that? Well, that's the Tongan church.
Wow.
How about the Samoan church or the Fiji church?
Yeah.
Or the New Zealand church, or the largest population of Tongans is in Salt Lake City. How do we plant a Tongan church in Salt Lake City? So all of a sudden, God starts to birth something that's far bigger than us. When we see God open doors in places like this, in situations like this. And that's what we learned even in going to Maui and coming over to Oahu, which was pretty amazing.
Even with the whole, you know, going from Tonga to Hawaii, even the whole church plant ideas and the steps, like God started to just wreck that in me because I had an idea of what it would look like and what steps I would take, like what you mentioned earlier. But like it went from me even like letting go, me going to directly to Tonga to like, okay, God, this isn't my vision, it's yours, where it's going. So as I started to let that go, then it was like, God's like, no, I got something bigger. I got something. So like, follow me. Don't follow what you think it is. Follow me. And then once I started to let that go, then it went from Maui. Then it went, you know, it goes to Oahu because my heart started to change. Don't, Lord, I don't want to be comfortable. Where's all the people? Where can I go and engage people? And Oahu has this massive, massive population out of all the other islands in Hawaii. So, and then as I started just walking in that, then conversations started to happen, and then this burden for the people, burden for the land started to happen, and like it was more like, okay, God, this is it. Now let's go. I want to bust out this gate, you know, and just obey the Lord and follow. So, and then this whole vision of like going from Oahu, now my heart's burdened for the entire Pacific Rim, as Doug Jividen just mentioned earlier. About, you know, Tonga, Samoa, New Zealand, Australia, Thailand, Fiji, Guam, and so on and so forth. So I, and again, you know, you mentioned earlier, this is just a great commission. And me, I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm just going to take it a step at a time. This is what you call me to do. Help me to be faithful. And so.
That's awesome.
There's an attitude in that, even that. That's what I appreciate about Doug and just the wisdom and even the drive to find church planters that you bring from Send Network. It's like you don't have to, this thing doesn't always have to look like this massive organization or machine, right? Like God uses ordinary people. And so the idea of planting churches to plant churches is built in that DNA. And it's having a multiplying kind of mindset. Like as soon as Noss is hitting the ground, he's trying to build a core team to then plant a church in a community. But then eyes get up as a pastor and you're looking for the next apprentice and the next person who can plant a church. And this guy could be a great plant in this town or in this country. And there's, it's amazing what the Lord can do. I even think about like Stephen Love, who is what, 3 years in to
four
years in from being planted here in 2020. And then Randall Davis is a pastor who's trying to plant on the southeast side of South Bend. And so it's only been 4 years since Stephen Love has gotten on the ground in that church, and now another church plant's coming out of his church. And that's pretty awesome, because it's not like he's got this massive residency and all of that. He has his eyes up. He's looking for people called by God. And then when you get people who are willing to be faithful, trust and obey, and be open-handed and humble, that's, I think, the key. Then the Lord can use you in doing all sorts of things for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, Randall's going to be launching his church in the spring, in March, on the south side of South Bend, doing an amazing job already. But Ben Hurt, who also planted at the same time as Stephen Love, they planted a church down in Indianapolis in Irvington.
Brad McOwen
planted in Irvington. Thank you for giving me the name. Yeah. But we also have a Hispanic plant that was planted in Goshen as well. Luis Galvez planted in Goshen. So already, one of the things we say is we want churches to plant pregnant. They are already thinking, what is the next church that comes out of that? That's multiplication.
That's
when you start to think, how do we get the DNA of Gospel City Church into every neighborhood, into every community, in the counties around us, into Michigan, into over to Gary, over to Fort Wayne, down to Indianapolis? That is when we start to see that the stretch of what Gospel City is can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because God opens doors.
Do you got? Do you have a stat off the top of your head of how many churches close a year in America?
Oh man!
Versus get planted, it's a pretty big
it's
number.
It's a big number. The cool thing is that we're starting to see that our plants are 2-to-1.
Yeah.
We are planting more churches now than we're losing. Now that's more so in the Midwest that we're seeing. I don't know from a United States perspective. But it's we're now just starting to see that trend when it used to be more closings than there are plants. And the great thing is, as we do orientation and training and coaching and quality assessing, we're starting to see that the percentages of plants that survive. And that's another issue you have to ask is a lot of times churches start and then they close real quick because we're not connecting to anybody. But now we're seeing that instead of, you know, 50 and 60% closure or success, we're seeing like 90, 95% that are staying healthy 5 years, 10 years, and they keep on going on and planting others.
Would you attribute that to probably to that kind of plant with multiplication in mind?
I do.
Because, I mean, it's kind of the gaining by losing mentality that we've talked a lot, living sent. Because it's an upside down kingdom thing in my mind. It's like, hey, go start this thing with very limited resources, and you're starting from nothing, and then immediately start thinking about how you can start it again somewhere else, and you're going to send your best people to that. Like, that's so opposite of what the world would think of how to build anything. But what we're seeing, and what we're the numbers aren't lying, that it's actually helping with the overall health. And then you read Acts, and you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, this is kind of how the Lord intended it. But
there is a, I think that's how I hope Gospel City is marked by this and continues to be, but just that live sent mentality is not just, you know, people who go to the mission field or who become pastors. It's it's everybody in the church. And I think like the mega church movement where it was really focused on numbers and growth made pastors and churches territorial. So it was like, ah, don't plant in my vicinity. You're going to steal my people and my sheep.
Right.
And so I'm very aware of that. And like one cool thing, a call that NASA and I were on with a pastor in Hawaii who started to get interested in NASA and see the value of a church plant. Very quickly when he said something like, I would love to send some of my people with you to plant that church. You're like, your antenna goes up because not every pastor is saying that.
That's right.
Not every pastor's like, hey, I'll give you some people.
Yeah,
a lot of pastors are like, hey, I'm not sure I want you in my vicinity because we got our thing going on and that's going to take. And I think that's how the Great Commission is. It's we should be willing to go. And that's not everybody in Gospel City or elsewhere is going to be called to go to Hawaii. Not everybody's is going to be called to plant a church or go into the mission field, but God might call you to take a step out of your comfortable church here and go help plant a church on the other side of town.
Yeah.
Or go help plant a church in another city, even like South Bend, gospel or Redemption City. Like, people moved from Chicago, people moved from Wisconsin to be a part of that thing and get it off the ground. We're praying that people will move to Hawaii with Noss and Caroline and be a part. And he's praying that too. And and my wife's praying that too.
You know what I mean?
So it's like there's we all can have a part. It doesn't mean everybody becomes a pastor, but how are you living sent and seeing gospel-centered churches planted? And yes, it comes with hard, and yes, it comes with sacrifice, but I don't think anybody regrets sacrificing for the kingdom of heaven.
I think too, like, it's like the heart of the heart of the Great Commission, you know, we're talking on like a grand scale of like a church plant. But if you think about it, like, the heart starts even in the individual of like how the church plants pregnant. Once you get saved, you're already thinking, who else can I go and share this with? Who else can I go and disciple, and so on and so forth? Rather than, you know, obviously this context is a church plant, but like a person, once they come to belief and faith in Christ, it's just overflowing of the Spirit. Is like, who can I go and tell? Who can I go talk with? Who can I meet with? Yeah. So it's basically, you know, again, just a Great Commission within each individual. And I love what you shared earlier, like, the context is different for everybody. So, you know, I'm going across the ocean. You know, some it's, you know, you're going across your bed to your wife, you know, to talk, you know, discipleship and plan, and how can we raise our kids together? The kids, they're going to these, their schools, their classes, you know, bosses, they got employees, you know, how can I shape this business to be a gospel saturated business? Mm. And the employees, I got coworkers that have families, and me, you know, before the church plant, I was in construction. So I know, you know, hearing those conversations of people that are like struggling and just living in the mundane, not an abundant life, as you preached this past. And like, again, it's all coming back to the heart of the Great Commission of, you know, Matthew 28, how being baptized, coming to faith, and then you just can't help but be taught and go and teach. Which is, again, in my context, this is a whole church plant now. So
I love that you brought it back to the church needs faithful businessmen, faithful construction workers, faithful moms, faithful children, as much as it needs church planters and all of that. Because I think the goal of life is not, the goal of Christianity is not to become a pastor or become an elder or become a church planter. And I think sometimes, help us with that a little bit. Like, I think sometimes in a congregation, when we're talking about being always on mission, living sent, talking about planting churches, and it's a part, it can start to stir in people like, ah, I got to do that to attain, you know, some kind of spiritual status with the Lord. And that's never what I want people to hear, because I think faithfulness and trusting and obeying is the key to the Christian life. And then there's an open-handedness of, Lord, I'll follow you wherever, here I am, send me. And he might not send you to the mission field, but he might. And how many people are sitting there closed-fisted, not going when the Lord's asking them to surrender?
Yeah.
And how many people are saying, I would go anywhere, but the Lord's asked me to stay here, and so I'm going to be faithful and obey right here, right now, and be the best church member I could possibly be, and be the best champion of planting. Like, does that resonate?
How do you balance that? You know, it's interesting. Vance Pittman, who is the president of Send Network, started teaching for us in the last couple years something that I think has kind of changed even my thinking of what do we do in planting. For years, many, many years, we have thought of planting a church as you plant a church so that you can disciple people, so that you can maybe engage the community. The problem is that that's not really biblical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to plant a building, plant a church. He said, what we've got to do is remember that everything we do is to glorify the Father. That's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is about his glory. But the first thing that we've got to ask is, what did the Apostle Paul do? He was engaging the community so that then he could disciple those that embraced Christ so that they could plant a church. Mm. And I think when we come back to what you just said, if we're talking about engaging the community, that's engaging anybody in the community. That's not just pastoring. That is selling cars. That is working in a hospital. That is wherever God has you, you're engaging the community with the gospel.
Yeah.
And that opens up opportunities for discipleship to take place and for a church then to be birthed out of that because we're connecting to the people where we live. And that is a different mindset. It causes us to not put up a wall and say, we have a church building and we hope somebody's going to walk through those doors. We're saying we're going to leave the building we're in out there and get among everyone and say, what do we need to do to bring a taste of God to these people so they can make a decision to accept or to reject? But the reality is it gives them an opportunity to experience God.
Yeah.
And I think that's the change that has caused us to see then churches birthed all around because we're saying we need to go to where people are. We need to go to those that are sick, not for us to just sit back and just, you know, cast, you know, blame at all the problems of the world. How about if we engage people? And that is a message. That's the gospel in a nutshell, is we got to take it to the streets.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus is the hope of the world. Church planting is not the hope of the world.
That's right.
And so we can apply that to anything. And I think that, you know, what I'm hearing a little bit from Nas's journey even is if you had started with, I have to plant a church or I'm going to, you know, waste my life or I'm not going to be an effective Christian or something, that dream probably would have got squandered pretty quickly when the reality of what that means. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but because you started with, I got to take Jesus to my people, and the Lord's just opening some doors for you to plant a church, and like that's just how you're going to do it. But if the Lord, you know, gave you an opportunity to open a car business and in Oahu or whatever, like you would do it because you're like, okay, that's how I get among my people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what I my burden as for our church is for us all to feel. It's like, my calling, my identity in Christ will not change if my role changes.
That's right.
And so if you're in his position, like the Lord has you in that for an exact reason, don't wait and don't miss out on what he's doing right now because you're hoping that it looks different in the future. Right. And so, I think the struggle of church planting can refine you in some good ways. Yeah. So Nasa, maybe like what are some things that you've kind of in this season you're seeing the Lord prune or where you're just like you've seen some of your most growth in the past? Because you kind of got thrown into like the furnace a little bit, you know, because construction worker laying tile and then like a day flip and you're like sitting here and Pastor Mitch is handing you like books that you've never even opened, you know, like
words I can't pronounce.
Yeah. So like, where have you seen like the biggest
how
growth?
Has it challenged your faith too, I think, because even your family's faith.
It's challenged me a ton in terms of like, I know that I'm following the Lord. It's one thing if I look like, you know, I'm attributing to these things, or like I'm crediting myself on this path, but now diving into this, it's definitely the Lord. So I'm like super humbled by that. And with every step, with every day of it, the more I learn about God, dive into the scriptures, talk about God with my coworkers, all of that, like, I can't help but just, you know, see the big picture and get smaller every time, you know? And again, like what we talk about, like, it's church plant, but like, that's not the end of the picture. That's just like a snapshot of this big picture of who God is and what he wants to do. And man, it's been great. 'Cause I would gauge this journey if my household wasn't affected by it, if my household wasn't more Christ-like, then I'm literally just seeing this as a job.
Yeah.
I'm literally just reading books and so on and so forth and prepping sermons. But if my marriage wasn't becoming more Christ-like or if I wasn't more sacrificial towards my wife, or if I, you know, God's, you know, helping me with my self-control with my kids, yeah. if that wasn't growing, then I would like test it to like, okay, I'm just following a job now. Yeah. I'm just doing a job. But again, by the grace of God and, you know, being under, you know, leadership and guidance of you guys, I'm able to just, you know, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him on this journey. So so definitely a faith increase, but like a crazy humility of like, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, like you could pick anybody. Actually, you should pick somebody else, but it's me. And and just going back to the church plant aspect of it too, it's like there's that journey of steps that I took, but I think a lot of people, a lot of church planters lose sight of those steps. You're still taking those steps,
that's right.
even when you're planting this church, right? In my case, you know, as many other church planters, like I went, you know, rather than go and try to plant this church, I went to my wife and discipled her and engaged her, went to my kids and then the community. And however way the Lord, you know, I went traveling and like those were the steps that I knew. And honestly, I wasn't even thinking about church planning. Even on this journey now, I'm not even thinking church planning. I'm just being obedient. Yeah. I'm just seeking him and I want to share the gospel. And like even this far along in this church plant, I'm still going to my wife. I'm still going to my kids. I'm still seeking people to pour into and people to pour into me. And it just so happened to be in the context as I'm following the Lord. I love being advised and just counseled of like, you know, it's hype, but you're not going to have Pastor Micah there. You're not going to have Pastor Brent. You're not going to have Doug Jividen. So make sure that the call carries you through because the adrenaline rush and, you know, I'm a big dreamer. The reality is going to hit like, hey, nobody wants to listen to you, Nas, you know, so on and so forth. But when that happens, the call of what he's called me to do and which is, part of church planting, but is to be that faithful son. I love John 14:15. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Mm-hmm. And that's been kind of, you know, one of the many verses that's been trucking this church plant engine of like, okay, Lord, I want to love you. Oh, you okay? You love me. Obey. And that's trucking. But then even at the hard times of like, am I doing ministry? It's like, no, it's not. How is this church plant going? It's how's my marriage? How's, you know, how am I parenting, so on and so forth?
Yeah.
And then trust in the Lord that with that driving through this train with the church plant is just going to tag along as another cart on this train of just trying to obey and honor the Lord with my life. So,
yeah,
the Lord's going to take care of the depth and breadth of your ministry as you take care of the things that he's asked you to, the things that are most important. And that's why I appreciate that about you. And then also I've seen you just submit to the process, submit to the Lord's way. And Proverbs says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, and you've submitted to that in our elders, in Send Network and the assessment process that they give. And the beautiful thing about that, it's probably, like you said, slower than when you had the like burden, you're like, I'm ready to parachute into Tonga tomorrow and start this thing. And I have some of that in me too. Like you and I joked about it. Like, dude, let's just kick in the door and do it.
We're the only ones out of everybody else that would do
it. Everybody else is
we probably shouldn't do it then.
And the thing is, I have found this to be true in my own life. Nothing about my ministry life has turned out the way I thought it would. If I was writing what I thought was going to happen when I came out of college at Liberty University, none of it has gone the way I would have predicted it to go. And yet it's been a very cool, beautiful story that has sanctified me beyond belief. Yeah. And the hardest moments that I look back at taught me the most and prepared me for more than I anticipated. And so I think that that's the, Psalm 37, He gives you the desires of your heart. It's not that he gives you exactly what you wanted. He shapes those desires into his desires. Yeah. And then it becomes something amazing when you dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness.
Yeah.
And so you've been doing that all along the process. And I am anticipating the Lord doing abundantly more than we can ask or think in Hawaii through this plant. Yeah. And I think quicker than we can imagine. Because I just think you've been faithful in the process. And so really pumped about it and excited.
Yeah. So now, so just as we kind of wrap the conversation, what are ways we can be praying for you if anyone's listening and hearing this and they want to know like how to just like go before the Lord in prayer, but also just partner with you. What are some things you're like, this is where my mind's at right now with this?
Yeah. Just for prayer through Doug Jividen's coaching, the three P's, partner in prayers, partner with people, and partner in the purse. So prayers, if you know, we'd love for prayers, just for, again, me just to lead well first, my family, and then overflow with whatever he entrusts me more with, whatever that may be. And then pray for people. If you have a burden on your heart, you love the beach, you want to love the beach and love Jesus. You know, if God's putting it on your heart, I love to have conversations.
Do you love the beach?
Pray for me to love the beach, which is weird. I'm not against the beach. I just...
His grace is sufficient for you, my friend.
Power is made perfect in your weakness.
Yeah, so pray for me and the beach and for people to want to come and be a part of this great gospel work in Oahu. I love to have conversations about that. And then with your last P, purse, any kind of giving, you know, every penny counts. Again, I'm uprooting and going, but I mean, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yeah.
We're asking for every single cattle on all those hills. so however way you could, definitely a house, especially as the only source of income in our house.
Yeah.
To you know, when I sit there and I just start thinking about rely on my understanding of everything, I'm literally about to lift my family and go move somewhere that we don't even have a place yet. But I mean, God has been faithful and in providing, and I just keep looking back. He's faithful then, he'll be faithful now, and he'll continue. And again, the beauty of it, man, I'm far from perfect, but he's perfect, and that's enough for me to strive to be holy as he is holy on this whole journey. So
it's awesome. We'll definitely be praying for that. And it's a bittersweet thing to think about you not sitting with us and talking through things, but man, what else would we give our lives to? And we got all eternity to hang out and stuff like that. So,
you guys got a place for your sabbaticals?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
There we go.
Come on. Perfect.
I think one coming up.
I'm sure we'll be doing short-term missions.
Yeah.
You know, when we stop and think about the idea, it'd be great if people moved out that direction. But there'll be times where we will probably be taking trips like we have done in Puerto Rico that can go out there and help you and assist you in a short-term way. So that is an avenue for people to be able to go.
Yeah.
One of the things that you're going to be doing is developing a prayer list if you're wanting to be consistent in praying for them.
Yeah.
We'd love to know your name and how we can connect with you and maybe send you a monthly newsletter that can help you to be updated as to what is going on. And then regarding giving, you know, giving through Gospel City, you can do that through Send Network, nam.net. There's a way that you connect and see NASA's name there, but through Gospel City as well. So there's a lot of ways to do this to help them get there. We're not there. It's going to be a lot more financially than the average planter here in the United States, or I should say in the mainland.
Yeah.
But being over there, we definitely have more... opportunity, but it also costs more. So we have to be aware of that. So I just wanted to throw that in with that.
No, that's great. We'll throw some of that in the show notes of just ways to connect with you and support you guys through those three P's. It's awesome. And we'll be praying for the Lord to continue to shape your heart and your family's heart as you follow him to trust and obey. But thank you, honestly, thank you for sharing your story and willing to be always on mission. And we're believing the Lord's going to do some great things through it.
Thanks for listening to For the City, a podcast of Gospel City Church. We want to encourage you to like or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so that you know when the next episode is released. And if you found this episode helpful, make sure to share it with a friend. We'll see you next time.